Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, my brothers and sisters. We praise God for another wonderful
Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor, to be more specific. We are so thankful and so grateful that you have decided to join us here for another Wednesday night Blog Talk Radio. We are thankful that God has allowed us to come to this place where we study His Word and where God will speak to us. We understand that it is not our words, it is not our wisdom, it is not our understanding, but it all comes from God. And I'm no more than a conduit for what He wants to talk about. But I am so thankful and so grateful that God has decided to use me as such. And I'm thankful again for allowing you to come and join us for another night of studying His Word. Well, before we go into tonight's lesson plan, as always, we thank God and we pray and we understand the power of prayer. We understand the understanding and the position and the anointing of prayer and how prayer would stir up God and get Him and get His attention. Not that He's not already seeing, and not that He's not all-knowing or all omnipresent, but because we want to allow His Spirit, we honor Him. And just as we would in any other relationship, the more we talk to the person, the more better understanding we have of them and they have of us. So without further ado, let us go ahead and have a word of prayer. Will you join me? I thank you, Lord God, for this day. I pray that you will bless us, that you will anoint us. Lord God, we ask for forgiveness. We thank you, Lord God, for what you've already done. We already claim your forgiveness. We claim your grace and mercy because of what your Son has done on the cross. We understand that it has already been extended to us. We were grafted in, and now we are joint heirs with Christ. And because of our relationship with Christ, God our Father has blessed us and is going to continue to bless us. And we understand that it's always about His will and not our will. So again, we ask that you bless those who are listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast. We thank you for their attentiveness, and we pray that they will be able to walk away with a better understanding of who you are and what you mean to us. Lord God, again, we praise God for Omega Ministry Group. We praise God for all of those of proclaimers of your gospel. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless those who are their listeners. We thank you, Lord God. We give you honor. We give you praise. Lord God, again, we are just so thankful. And we humbly stand before your throne, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and our shortcomings. We ask that you stir up the gift that you poured into us for another wonderful Wednesday night. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we again thank God for you. And for those who are listening live, we always want to encourage you to participate in the lesson. You can call, or you can press 1 on your phone, and that will indicate that you have a comment or question. For those who are listening to the rebroadcast, you can send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, that's J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com. And I promise you, I will respond to your email. We also again thank Dr. Reverend Jesse Storr, his wife, Tammy Storr. We thank God for them and how they always are blessing and always encouraging. They have a wonderful marriage. And I would never say they have a perfect marriage, but they have a wonderful marriage. And just to see the interactions of these two and so many others interact and move around and stuff. It's just so grateful to see all of that. So tonight's lesson plan can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, our scripture again is 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we are going to read verses 26 through 31. Okay, again, 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 26 and reading through its conclusion of that chapter. This is the NIV translation. We will read another translation. So the word of the Lord reads, starting verse 26. Meanwhile, Joab fought against Redabar. Yeah. Rabaha of the Ammonites and captured the war citadel. Joab then sent messengers to David, saying, "I have fought against Rahabah and taken his water supply. Now muster the rest of the troops and besiege the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will take the city and it will be named after me." So David mustered the entire army and went to Rahabah and attacked and captured it. David took the crown from their king's head, and it was placed on his own head. It weighed a talent of gold, and it was set with precious stones. David took a great quantity of plunder from the city and brought out the people who were there, consigning them to labor with saws and with iron picks and hacks, and he made them work as brickmakers. David did this to all the Ammonites' towns. Then he and his entire army returned to Jerusalem. Again, verse 29. Joab then sent messages to David saying, "I have fought against Rahabah and taken his water supply. Now muster the rest of the troops and besiege the city and capture it." So, for subject matter for tonight, something that we want to discuss get back into the battle. Get back into the battle. Have you ever started something, a project, a paper, some alterations to your house, some task, and as you were fulfilling and doing the task or trying to work the project, something happened where either you ran out of money or a contractor didn't do right. Maybe the instructions you read them wrong, and you got frustrated. Or maybe as a puzzle, you started and you got to a part of the puzzle which was extremely hard. And you decide, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it. Have you ever came to that place in your life where you were just tired and you no longer wanted to complete the task or the project that you started? There are times in our lives where, due to unforeseen circumstances, we are in the middle of the process. We are in the middle of completing the task that God has given us. Now, we understand that there are some people who will procrastinate. There's some people that will just put stuff off and keep on putting it off. Or maybe, you just get to a place where you're no longer capable of completing the task. I want to tell you today that you need to go back and get in the battle. Oh, I hear you. I know it's easier said than done. I know it's easier to walk away. You're willing to take your losses. You're ready to just throw in the towel. You're ready just to give up. And God is telling me to tell you tonight, don't give up. Don't turn around and give in. There's still so much for you to do. And despite the fact that it may look like you're losing, or it may look like you lost, in reality, you haven't. In the reality, in the scheme of things, you're right where God needs you to be. You're right where God wants you to be. There's been times in your life and my life where we have said things to people and we said some not so friendly words, not so many friendly things. And if we can be real, some of us have called people that we so-called love out of their name. So, What I'm here to do to tell you today is get back into the battle. God is waiting for you to come to Him. So, I can hear you saying, how can I get back into the battle? I feel so defeated. I feel so depleted. I feel so frustrated. The first thing you can do is acknowledge who you are and what's going on with you. Acknowledge the fact that you are nothing without God. Acknowledge the fact that God wants to put you in a position so tonight, I want you to realize and look at the example that we have here in 2 Samuel, the life of David. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, let me go back a little bit further. David is anointed king. Now, a lot of this will be very familiar. If you spent any time in Sunday school or in church, then I'm pretty much sure you know about this story. But David is out one night. Instead of being out on the war, being out on the battlefield, David's at home chilling. He's now king. Where before he was a servant of Saul, now Saul is dead, and now he is pronounced king, the second king, the king over all of Israel, and all over Jerusalem, and he is now the king over God's people. And he was anointed to be the ruler of God's people. There were many times before where God used him and anointed him to fight a battle. And though the battle might have looked like he was losing at first, he became victorious. So, here we are, where now he's at home in the palace. He overlooks, he goes out to, I'm assuming, and this part is an assumption, he goes out on a porch or something, and he happens to see Bathsheba. Fine, super fine Bathsheba. So, he sees Bathsheba and he calls for her. Now, he already has many wives, many concubines, but he sees this one woman. And as he sees her, he starts lusting for her. And as he lusts for her, he falls in love with her. But the problem is that Sheba's already married. And so he calls for her. He ends up getting her pregnant, finds out that she's pregnant. So he calls Uriah, who is Bathsheba's husband, to come home because he feels that he's going to cover it up. And Uriah is going to come and sleep with Bathsheba, and he can pretend that that's not his baby, but that's Uriah's baby. But Uriah is so dedicated to the cause of his king, King David, that he says that he would rather sleep at his doorstep or on the steps of his palace than to go home and be with his wife. So David goes out and decides, okay, since he's not going to go home and sleep with his wife, I'm going to have to get rid of him some kind of way. So he sends Uriah out into the fierce part of the battle. And as he is going out and he sends him to the part of the battle where it is more likely for him to be murdered or for him to die because of the situation. So things work. And he thinks that he's gotten away with, one, impregnating Bathsheba, two, that he's got away with stealing Bathsheba away from her husband, who was so supportive to you. So, Uriah dies, and David feels like, okay, I've made it. I've made it through, and things are going to work out. And how many times have you realized that though you might have gotten over a man, you will never get over on God? I mean, I don't care what you've done in life, you think that God is not looking. So, David is trying to cover up all of this drama, as we would say in today's society. And as he is trying to cover up, as he is trying to cover up what he's done wrong, there is a prophet in the land named Nathan. And Nathan has a word for David. And tonight, there's another word that God has, but it's not for David, it's for you. What we're going to do, we're going to take a pause, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to ask you to please make sure you go get some water or some juice. I know yesterday that's irrelevant. Go get some water. Go get something to drink. And listen to this song. And we'll be right back.
Jesus. seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand this place your heart is in. You just want to dream again and believe.
Yeah. Remember what you're praying for. Yes. Don't give up. So no matter what you're going through right now,
like, my brothers and sisters, you got to realize it. You got to hold on. I know the situation might appear bad. The circumstances might be turned upside down. But you got to hold on. So here we are. In Second Samuel, chapter 12. And here we are in a place where David has done this unspeakable, disrespectful act against a man who loved him, who served him, but predominantly to God. So he comes, and Nathan, who is the prophet, and Nathan comes and tells David about a story about a man who had sheep, and instead of killing one of his own sheep, he killed one of his servant's sheep. And David gets upset and said that this man ought to basically pay more than four times what he's used, that this man is disrespectful, that this man should be punished. And then Nathan says, "You are the man." That's right, David. I'm not just talking about a man. I'm talking about you. And so let's read this. Verse 6 of this 12th chapter. It says, David, let's go back to 5. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." Verse 11, "This is what the Lord says. Out of your own house I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I would do this thing in broad daylight before all of Israel." Then this is in verse 13. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 says, "Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' Nathan replied, The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because you are doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die. So, David is at this place in his life where he is now at a place of repentance. And again, tonight's title is Get Back Into the Battle. Let's get up and get back into the battle. David goes, he realizes that he's done something horrible against God. And Nathan comes and shares a word with him that God has forgiven him for his sin. Now, I say to you, God has forgiven you of your sin. God forgave you your sin when he allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. All of your sins was taken care of in that moment. Not just your sins of yesterday, but your sins of today and your sins of tomorrow. Now, that doesn't give you a go out and sin and do whatever you want to, God, but it does allow you to realize that sin cannot separate you from God because Christ has already dealt with the sin debt, the penalty of sin. He's already dealt with that. He's already put that. He's already paid that price. Now it is our responsibility to live a life where we can live, where we can do as less as possible or abstain from sinning as much as possible. I mean, it's sort of the whole thing of you want to bring honor to your father. So by bringing honor to your father, there are certain things and a certain lifestyle that you should live. And it's the same mindset and it's the same, mindset that we ought to have when it comes to God. And to know that God has already paid that, Jesus has already paid that sin debt, that should give us the reassurance that we should not get caught up and start beating up on ourselves, or allowing Satan or anyone else to come up against us to say that we're no good or that we can't be used of God. Because when we start believing that, when we start believing that we are so guilty of sin, then that erases the grace and the mercy that God has provided towards us through the death of and resurrection of his son. I mean, if you live in a life where you're so beaten down and you're so caught up and thinking that I will never be anything, I'm worthless, by making those declarations, then why did Christ die on the cross for your sin? You are saying then to God that what he allowed his son to do means nothing to you. So we have to live a life where we understand there will be repercussions for our actions, yes. And there were repercussions from the actions that David did by taking on Bathsheba as his wife, by allowing Uriah to die when he should have been out there. But then we come to a place, and this is where our main subject and main topic, or what we're going to really kind of, I gave you this whole background in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, to kind of bring us up to where we really want to talk about in 26. Joab was one of David's generals, starting in verse 26. And Joab says to David, hey, he sends message. Listen, I've already taken over the water supply of this country. Now, what I need you to do, I need you to come on out here. I need you to gather up the rest of the army and come and take over this land, take over this city. Now, if you don't come, now this is the J. Van version, let me preference that. If you don't come, then I'm gonna take the land and I'm gonna rename it after me. So, David, I know your son is dead. I know that you were mourning. But it is time for you to get back into battle, because you were the anointed one. You were the one that God chose. You were the king of Israel and Judah. You are the one that God used to slay the mighty giant. You are the one that God delivered out of the hands of Saul. You're the one that was chosen even before you knew who you were. Out of all your brothers, you were the anointed one. You were the crown. You were the king, the crowned one. So I need you to get back into this battle and take over this land. Now, if you don't do it, again, there are repercussions for your actions. And the repercussions are, I'm going to take over this land, and I'm going to rename it after me. So the choice is yours. And so many of us, we come to this place in our lives that we are given this choice. Do we sit still? Do we sit in our ashes? Do we sit in our pity parties? Do we sit in our rooms or in our enclosed space? Or do we get out and do what we were anointed and what we were created to do? So what, you had a setback? So what, you had a fall? So what, you had a misstep? God has forgiven you for those sins. Yes, there are repercussions, but you are still forgiven of those sins. And because you are still forgiven of those sins, you are still anointed by God. So many of us don't realize that we are anointed by God. We were created to live in this specific time, doing the specific things that God created us to do. Do you realize that sometimes that the things that you've gone through, that somebody else, if they were to go through it, that it would kill them, that it would drive them crazy, that they could not carry that burden? But God created you and anointed you to do it. In verse 29, it says, "So David mustered the entire army and went to Rahabah and attacked and captured it. He took the crown from the head of their kings. It weighed as a its weight was a talent of gold, and it was set with precious stones, and it was placed on David's head. He took a great quantity of plunder from the city and brought out the people who was there, consigning them to labor with saws and with iron picks and axe, and he made them work as brickmakers. He did this with all the Amalekites, to all the Amalekite towns. Then David and his entire army returned to Jerusalem." See, that's why you got to get up and do what God has called you to do. There is a whole group of people who are waiting for you to come and take over the city so that you can free them. And not just free them, but make them into better people than they once were. To turn them from being slaves and being prisoners to now being makers, brick makers, masonry stuff. It's sort of like going into the prison and freeing up people who was once considered criminals or murderers, or rather people that were enslaved. And then he made them into productive people of society. You have a whole group of people that's waiting for you to come and free them. And what's important is, it's not you freeing them, but it's God using you to free them, to grant them their freedom, and then to grant them purpose in life. See, that's why it's so important for you to realize how anointed you are. It's not about you, but it's about God using you. So don't trip about the mistakes that you've made. Accept the grace and the mercy that has been bestowed upon you through Jesus Christ. And then go out and do what God has called you to do. About 2 weeks ago, I went to Atlanta by the request of some friends. And this year, let me go back. This year, 2019, I told myself I'm 50. I turned 50 last year. I'll be 51 in September. This year, I told myself that I can no longer live my life the way that I've been living. The first 50 years were good and great, but the next 50 years is going to be extraordinary. And that's only because I have to do things differently. So here I am in Atlanta at a gathering and not really knowing a whole lot of people, but forcing myself to go out and meet people and talk to people and get prepared for what God has for me. Now, it wasn't all that I wanted it to be, but it was still a great experience because of the fact that I now trust in God and know that I have to do things differently. Now, for you? Will you get up out of your ashes? Will you come from out of your sitting place? And will you get back into the battle of life, the battle of life and death? Because God has anointed you to free the captives, to encourage your matron, your group of people, the people who you have dominion over. Or will you just sit back and let someone else do it? Or sit back on the sideline? I never really played professional football or organized football or organized sports. I was always had kind of breathing problems. But I remember I always hung out with athletes. And one of the things that I learned about most, if not all, athletes are that they always want to be in the game because they realize that at any given moment, something that they've done or something that they're about to do can change the whole outcome of the game and bring their team victory. So they never, you know, even when the coaches would sit them down, they would be in the coach's ear. Coach, let me back in. Coach, let me back in. And eventually, the coach will let them back in. I challenge you tonight. Will you get back into the battle? Will you get back into the game? Or are you going to sit by the sideline? And then before you know it, you look up and you'll see God calling you home. And you'll look back over your life. And you'll have all these regrets of how you coulda, shoulda. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters. That's not me. I'm giving him my all. And yes, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to dot every I and not going to cross every T. But I'm going to give him what I can give him. And I'm going to give him my life. I'm going to give him everything. Because I'm anointed. I'm anointed. And so are you. We thank you, Lord God, for tonight's lesson. We pray, Lord God, that something that has been said tonight will challenge somebody to get back into the battle, to get back into the battle of life. We understand that, yes, they've made mistakes. We understand that there's been situations that they didn't know how they were going to get out of it. But they understand that them, including myself, has to realize grace and mercy that God has given us is more sufficient. It is there for us. The only thing we have to do is remember and accept it. And then we have to go out and get back into. Yeah, there might be some repercussions that we might not want or we might not have to deal with. But God still loves us. And God is still using us. And God is still blessing us to be a blessing to free somebody else. And encourage somebody else so that they too can then go out and share this gospel and free even more people. We thank you, Lord God. We give you honor. We give you praise in the name of your Son, who is our Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we do have a couple of minutes. I know it's on, well, it is 9:30, but we have a couple of callers on the line. If there is anyone who would like to share something, they have a question or a comment, or they just want to share something, you can press 1 on the phone and on your phone, and I'll be able to unmute your mic. If not, for those who are listening to the rebroadcast, we ask that you please send an email directly to me at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, JAYVANN@yahoo.com, and we will definitely respond to your email. We thank God for those who are listening live again, and we pray that you will continue to bless us, your people. Is there one? We also want to just thank God, as always. We want to tell you that there is other mighty men and women of God who share the word of God that God is using to proclaim and broadcast the gospel, the good news, and the grace and mercy of God. Every Monday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, you can hear that, the good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr. And we thank God for him and his wife, Tammy Storr, for how they have blessed and been a blessing, and how they continue to encourage and share every Monday night. Again, that they are sharing, they share about oneness, something that we are trying to always learn and get from them. We thank God again for them. On at 9 o'clock, we have Minister Leah Killings. We thank God for her and for her sharing then on, it's yours truly on Wednesday night. Then on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we have Bishop George Flint. We thank God for him every Thursday night. And then on Saturdays at 1 o'clock, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins calling from the Ohio area on Saturdays at 1 o'clock. We thank God. Please tune in to all these men and women of God who share the word of God, who are constantly counseling and just encouraging us to be better and to do better. So we thank the Lord for each and every one of you all. We will definitely be back with you next Wednesday. As always, I want to leave you with this song. We thank God for each and every one of you all. Again, it's Peace and Love, Willie J. Vann Jr.
That the voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give. searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them, here I am.
Here I am.